الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا شفيع المذنبين وقائد الغر المحجرين وسيدي ولدي آدم والأفخ محمد بن عبد الله بن عبد المطلب الهاشمي القرشي وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذريته ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. تركنا المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزغ إلا هالك. ثم أوصيكم ونفسي العاصية بتقوى الله كما أمر الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز حيث يقول: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. ثم أما بعد, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord and Sustainer of the universe. We beseech and implore Him to forgive us our missteps and mistakes and to offer His most salient blessings and communications upon His last and final prophet, the intercessor for the transgressors and the Sayyid of all of creation, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Muttalib. Peace and blessings be upon him. He has left for us a clear, pristine path. Its day is as its night in its clarity, and all those who waver from it will find nothing but misery. So sometime, probably in the past 18 hours or so, there was a group assembled like this, preparing for Jummah, or perhaps already started Jummah, sitting in the silence and the tranquility that we are blessed to enjoy right now. But that silence and that tranquility was broken, was transgressed upon, was violated violently. And of course, we all know what I'm referring to. And every time these sort of things happen, what we hear most of the time is a call for thoughts and prayers to the victims. And while this is true, we don't negate that, and it's important, and our deen, our Islam, teaches us to be reflective and introspective, and that all that happens in creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the author of it. Nothing defies His will. He has given human beings the autonomy to defy His command, but no one can defy His will. So nothing happens in creation except that God wills it. We don't always understand why, or how, or for what reason, or for what purpose, but never waver in your conviction that nothing goes against Allah's will. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issues certain commands to us, and He informs us via Himself in the Quran and via His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when we do defy His commands, there will be consequences. And those consequences are not limited to the next life. Sometimes we see those consequences in this life. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Fasad, which is not an easy word to translate in Arabic. Sometimes it's used like in the Quranic verse, الذين يفسدون في الأرض. يفسدون. They create fasad. And fasad, you can think of as an imbalance, first and foremost. And so when there is a spiritual imbalance in the world, in the earth, then we should not be surprised to see that imbalance manifested in everything else. Physically, geopolitically, emotionally, mentally. The only creature that has been allowed to be a source of this imbalance in the world is us. No other creatures. The whales in the ocean will never cause an imbalance in the world. The only reason they may be a source of such is because we compel them. We remove them out of their natural habitat. Or we influence them, or overpower them, or compel them in a way that they leave that which they instinctively know to do. And so they're always going to be balanced creatures. The ants are always balanced creatures. The bees are always balanced creatures. So when we see these creatures out of balance and doing things they don't normally do, or expiring, or being on the verge of extinction, there is no one to blame. No one is to blame except ourselves. So it's no surprise when we see this manifested in the atrocities and the ugliness that we see daily, every day, we see a manifestation of it. And it's all due to the own workings and machinations and improprieties perpetuated by our race, by human beings. So what should one do in response to all of this? How should we go about doing things? What is that is requested of us? The Prophet ﷺ said something very profound. He said, "من الناس ناس مفاتيح للخير مغاليق للشر." ومن الناس مغاليق للخير مفاتيح للشر. فتوبى لمن جعل مفتاح للخير أو جعل مفتاح الخير على يديه والويل لمن جعل مفتاح الشر على يديه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Said from the people, there's two types of people. There are those who are keys to good and are locks that prevent bad. And there are those who are keys to bad and locks that prevent the good. فَتُوبَ تُوبَ. Some of them said this is one of the names of paradise, or it's a general sort of accolade given to those who will be the dwellers of paradise. تُوبَ لَهُمْ. Like in the other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that is appropriate to say at this time, بَدَى الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيُودُ غَرِيبًا وَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. Islam began as strange, it will end as strange. فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. So tuba, glad tidings, good things will come to those who are strange because of their deen. So the meaning is similar here. And then there are those people, as we said, there are locks that prevent good and there are keys to bad. But tuba, good things to the ones who are keys to the good and locks that keep out the bad. What a wave, a wave. And those who do the opposite, those who are keys to the bad and locks that keep out the good, الْوَيْلُ لَهُمْ. May they be accursed. May they be accursed. This is a promise or a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So which one are we going to be? Which team are we going to play on? How are we going to go about the world? Are we going to let the rage and the anger and the perpetuating of the idea that somehow one group of people poses some sort of existential threat to another group of people? Because that's the proposition here. This is what these people believe. And I'm not talking about white supremacists only. I'm talking about anybody. And we have such people amongst ourselves who call themselves Muslim too. Anyone who believes that any one group of people poses an existential threat that must be removed, otherwise they themselves will not endure survival, That's the very definition of extremism. That's the very definition of being a key to evil, to shun. And it's the very definition of a lack of keeping out good. And the source of this sort of ideology is preying upon people's anxieties and their fear. And unfortunately, it manifested itself in this reprehensible, unbelievable act of violence. And I wish I could say it would be the last time. But we all know in this room it's not going to be the last time. And probably there's going to be many times, unfortunately. So we can sit here, or we can stand here and talk about thoughts and prayers, or we can each have a resolve within ourselves to actually do something about it. And the number one place to start to do something about it is within you, is yourself. This is the very meaning of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-Muslim man salima al-nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi." The Muslim, the true Muslim, is the one who the people are protected from his hands and from his tongue. From what he does physically and what he says. He didn't make this a shart, he didn't make this a condition of being a Muslim. But he's describing how do you recognize a Muslim. What is kind of the number one thing you're going to notice about them? Yes, that people are protected from his tongue and from his hand. How do we greet one another? What do we say? Don't we say, "Assalamu alaikum"? Doesn't that mean I don't mean you any harm? I'm coming in a peaceful manner. I mean peace. I only seek peace. Doesn't that what that mean? Can't we live that meaning? Can't we embody it? Can't we actualize it within us? There's a great scholar who lived centuries ago. His name is Abdul Wahid Sha'rani, radiallahu anhu. And he's describing his embodiment of the meanings of the Quran and Sunnah. And he said, "I don't go outside of my house. I don't leave my house until I can have an intention for three things. And if I don't have an intention for those three things, I don't want to leave my house." What? What could that possibly be? Do we have an intention to leave the house? Yes, we have an intention to leave the house. Because once you leave your house, once you leave your place, now you're coming into contact with other people. And you can make or break their day. You have the power. You have the ability to make or break that person's day. And the closer they are to you in relationship, the more power you have to make or break their day. Your very facial expression can either ruin or enlighten one's day. So what did he say? What are these intentions that he's talking about when he leaves the house? He said, "I have an intention, number one, at the hammer with other aninas." In Arabic, that means, I have an intention that I will relieve people of their burdens. I will relieve people of their burdens. How do you go about relieving people of their burdens? What does that mean? How do you do that? You don't add to their burden. You don't add to it. You make an intention that every single interaction that you are going to have with any single creature of God who represents the divine will of God and a divine choice, that he brought that creature out of non-existence into existence. So he's divinely chosen. We don't have a creed in Islam that says we are the chosen people. We never say that about ourselves. Because every single person is a chosen person. Every single person is precious and inviolable and should be respected for their honor and their blood and their property. And none of that should be transgressed against. Except bihaqillah, that which Allah has described by haq, when they themselves transgress. But otherwise, based upon what they think, what they believe, what they espouse as a belief, none of that should be a reason that they should be transgressed against. Neither physically, nor emotionally, nor spiritually. None of those is a reason. None of those is a justification. So we pick up the burdens of people. Smile when you greet people. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, كان دائم البشر. He was always smiling. He was always bringing relief to people. He also said, my second intention, أتحمل أذى الناس. الأذى من الناس. This is different than the first one. He said, I will also take in and tolerate any harm that comes to me from them. The Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba, why can't you be like Abi Dhamdham? One of the Sahaba, why can't you be like Abi Dhamdham? When he goes outside of his house, he says to himself, I have sold my ird to the people. I don't want anything from it. I have sold my honor. Which means, if people transgress, violate me, even in my honor, I will not take them to task. I will not grow into a rage. I will take it in. I will relieve the people of their own wrongdoing. And then he finally said, my third intention, when I go outside of the house, I have the intention that I want to bring ease to them. Jalbullah. I want to bring ease to them. I want to bring relief to them. People are under so much pressure today. So many things they're thinking about. So many things they're anxious about. So many things that distract them. We're barely people anymore, to be honest with you. We're kind of just walking automatic robots that are busy with our phones and have automatic reactions to everything. The humanity is dissipating and diminishing before us. Who are the last people who have the ability to replenish that humanity? To bring something back of that humanity? Don't underestimate the power of our deen. It's not just praying five times a day. It's not just paying the zakat. It's not just identifying as a Muslim. You have within you the power to transform. You literally can change the world. And it began with a single man, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he changed the world. And the people after him also have the ability to change the world. And they continue to do so. We should rightfully claim that legacy, because it's our legacy. Real transformation, transformation from within, not from without. This that we're seeing out there today is not going to go away by imposition from above. The cycle of violence, of hatred, of extremist ideologies, of racial hatred, all of that doesn't go away from Allah. You can pass as many laws as you want. It doesn't change people from the inside. You can compel them to comply. Doesn't mean they're going to be convinced from the inside. Doesn't mean they're going to be changed from the inside. So what is it going to be? Are we going to be keys to the good and locks that prevent the bad? Or are going to be the opposite. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه فإن التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. Seek forgiveness from your Lord for the one who does so is like the one without sin. الحمد لله رب العالمين. ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. So yes, it does take resolve and a transformation from within, but we should not lose sight of the fact that these atrocities are not the acts of a single person. And they are not the acts of just a purely deranged person. There are reasons. There are ideologies at work here. There are people who are profiting from perpetuating these ideologies. And not just in New Zealand or Australia or Western Europe, but right here in the United States of America, right here in the state of Michigan. There are people who perpetuate this fear-mongering, this fear of the other, for their own narrow-minded, private, political purposes. Nothing else. They might not even actually believe it. That's beside the point. But they are benefiting from it. A small elite that imposes its will over a larger majority at the peril of that larger majority. Where have we seen that before? That's very familiar, because it's always been like that. It's always been a small elite who are the resistors to change and the ones who want to perpetuate the status quo because they're beneficiaries of it. This is the exact situation that confronted the Prophet in Mecca. They didn't really believe in idol worship. They were not that invested in it as a religion. But what they were invested in was their own enrichment, their own continuation of the status quo of their power and their prestige and their influence over others. That's what they were invested in. So at the end of the day, these people who are mowing down others with automatic rifles and people they don't even know, they don't know their names, they don't know where they come from, they might even know anything about them, even about their religion or anything. And the Prophet ﷺ informed us we should only grow in certainty, because he informed us such days will come upon us. Such days will come upon us. He said there will be days that will come upon us that the killer will kill and the one who is killed will be killed, and they don't know why. There used to be a time when people who were violent with one another, there was actually a real reason. They kind of knew each other. There was a dispute. And it ended badly. Now people who completely don't know one another, who have no intersection in their lives with one another, but somehow feel compelled that that group of people needs to be removed. There is certainly something very wrong with humanity if that's where we're at. And we don't want to be perpetuators of that. Everyone has a right to live. Everyone has a right to be. Whether we agree with them or don't agree with them. Even those people who espouse beliefs very contrary to our aqidah, to what we believe, that doesn't give us a right to condemn them, or to censure them, or to blame them, or anything. La ikraha fi deen. There's no compulsion. If this deen, first and foremost, is the matter of the heart, who can compel somebody else's heart? You can't make people love who you want them to love. You can't make people hate who you want them to hate. No one has that power. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put those meanings in someone's heart. All that we can do is help, is indicate, is suggest, is demonstrate, first and foremost. Demonstrate there's another way. Demonstrate there's another way to the cycle of violence that continues and the cycle of the rhetoric. Are we going to do that? Are we going to begin with ourselves? Or are you going to perpetuate the cycle? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon all of the victims of the two mosques in New Zealand who were the shuhada. They are shuhada. They are martyrs in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a blessing. They died on a Friday, on the day of Jumu'ah. They died in the blessed month of Rajab, the month that we're in, which is one of the holy months or the sacred months in our calendar, referred to as Rajab al-Fadl, wa Rajab al-Asam, wa Rajab al-Asam. Why? What does that mean? The singular Rajab. And the Rajab that is silent. The silent Rajab. Why? Because that was the first month of the year that the swords fell silent. It was a sacred month where fighting was prohibited even before Islam. Even before Islam. And it remains so even now. It's a sacred month. But we commemorate it, we celebrate it, we remember it by remembering those who passed before us and the sacrifices they made. So these people were blessed, in a sense, dying in the holy month of Rajab on a Friday and in an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if that person or perpetrators, whether it was one or more, think they are going to deter us from being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will deter us from holding our Friday congregations and our other prayers, I know all of us agree in this room, they are sorely mistaken. They are sorely mistaken. Because this is a deen that we will die for. These are meanings, these are principles we will die for. And we'll be happy to die for it. We will be happy to die for it. That was the way of our predecessors. There's always been this. Don't ever think that somehow there was a lull in the fitna and the tribulations, and that our predecessors had a time where they didn't, weren't exposed to that. It's always been there. It's the very nature of the world. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. We have created the human being in this state of strife and tribulation. And sometimes that strife and tribulation will affect those who had no part in it whatsoever. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Have taqwa of the fitna, of the tribulation, that does not only affect those who have wronged amongst you. Sometimes those who didn't do anything wrong are get caught up into it. That's the nature of this world. It's temporary, it's ephemeral. It's not lasting. It's not very pleasurable. Not very pleasurable. That's what it is. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us every once in a while to see that. If this world actually meant that much, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would allow the beloved grandson of our Prophet ﷺ, the Sayyid of Ahlul Jannah, Shabab of Ahlul Jannah, Sayyidina Hussein, to be martyred in the manner that he was? This world was that important? Would he allow that to happen? It's not that important. It's just a proving ground. Just a passing through phase. And what's important is what comes next. But this proving ground let us have the fortitude and the strength to actually prove ourselves. And we should see every interaction as an opportunity to do that. Every slight, every name call, every curse thrown at us, see it as an opportunity to show ourselves and show the world who we really are. So on this blessed day of Jum'ah, in the month of Rajab, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the shahada of all of our brothers and sisters in New Zealand and elsewhere, in Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria, in all the places, and right here in the United States of America. May Allah accept all of the shuhada and accept them as shuhada. And let us have the vision to actualize the verse of the Quran that tells us not to think of them as dead. Nay, they are alive. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتُلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَالٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٍ. They are alive. They are alive with the true life. Those people yesterday, don't feel too sorry for them. They are sitting as we speak right now, inshallah, with the Prophet and in his presence and in his company. And he's smiling at them. And they're smiling at him. But the ones we feel sorry for are ourselves, not them. Where do we go from here? That's the real question. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونسألك أن تبرأ ولا عفاك والدنا ومسطونا بسطر الجميل ومسطونا بسطر الجميل ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا هب لنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا يا الله يا الله يا الله بجاه أسماء الله وصفات الله وأنبياء الله ورسل الله والصالحين من عباد الله أقضي حوائجنا ظاهرا وباطنا وما أرنا الحق حقا وزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وزقنا اجتنابه وما زقنا حسن الخاتمة وما زقنا حسن الخاتمة نصر من الله حكم طيب بشر المؤمنين وأرنا على ذكرك وشكرك حسن بادتك وسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدين والآخرة ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد بعد الرضا ولك الحمد كالذي نقول ولك الحمد كالذي تقول ولك الحمد على كل حال يا عالم السر منا لا تهتك الستر عنا وعافنا واعف عنا وكنا لا حيث كنا وما ايضا قلوبنا لك ونبهنا من الغفله عنك وما ايضا قلوبنا لك ونبهنا من الغفله عنك وما اجعل اخر كلامنا لا اله الا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد على كمال الله وكما يليق بكماله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين فاطم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله